Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Hero MotoCorp Q3 FY20 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. We have with us today the senior management on the call. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Umang Khurana, Head Investor Relations, Hero MotoCorp. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bikram. Welcome everyone to the Q3 FY20 post-results investor call. We have our CFO, Niranjan Gupta, on the call with us today. He will begin with opening comments, and then we'll open the house for questions. Bikram, let's collate the questions. Mr. Gupta will start, and then let's collate the questions.
Hi, welcome everyone to the call. You would have seen our results by now. Good morning and good evening, depending on from which geography or which part of the world you are joining. As you would have seen, we have delivered an EBITDA margin of 14.8% for the quarter, which is 80 basis points up year on year, and a profit after tax growth of 14%. These results are driven by cost savings and corporate tax cut as well. Overall revenues stand at 7,000 crores. We've also declared interim dividend of 65 rupees per share, which is 3,250%. And as you all know, that as far as the dividend is concerned, we've always been in the top decile of the companies that declare dividend. Finally, as far as BS4 and BS6 transition is concerned, all our models are BS6 ready. We are well geared for the transition, and you would have read we would be stopping our BS4 production by middle of February itself, and we are completely geared for a smooth transition to the BS6 regime. With that, let me just open for the Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one now. We have a first question from the line of Vimal Gohil from Union Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on some very good execution on the margins front. So first question is, could I get some is our data? Can I get the spare parts revenue for this quarter, and what was it the same quarter last year?
Yep, the spare parts revenue for this quarter is 800 crores, and for the same quarter last year was 730 crores. It reflects a growth of 9.5%.
Right, sir. And sir, on the BS6, if you could just share how has been the reaction with the customers, and have you passed on your entire cost and plus your margins, or your margins are still to be recovered as far as BS6 cost increase is concerned?
See, as far as the customer reaction is concerned, it's too early to say anything. Really speaking, we will start picking up the customer reaction in terms of the volume and the price acceptance as an industry itself from the Q1 of next fiscal. But whatever has been sold or whoever has bought it, the response has been positive as far as the product and the quality is concerned. But overall, in terms of the reaction to the pricing and the volume elasticity, you will figure out only in the Q1 of next fiscal. On your next question of the passing of the cost, yes, on an absolute basis, we are able to pass most of the costs.
Have we recovered some margins on it?
As I said, that we are passing it on an absolute basis in terms of cost per vehicle, most of it. There would, of course, be whatever is the resultant mathematical impact of numerator and denominator on the margins.
Right, sir. Sir, my last question was on your cost savings. I see your OPEX has gone down by 9%, and this has been consistently coming down since last four quarters. Adjusting for Ind AS, what would be your cost saving in the last 3 months, And how sustainable is this? I mean, have you are we still left with some steam as far as cost savings are concerned, or we could see some normalization going ahead?
So, yes, we've been driving savings program, as you know, earlier on the material cost side, which was LEAP program. And then thereafter, we have embarked on programs on the overheads and all the other OPEX and all the other spends as well. So it's part of the drive for the cost savings and driving return on spends and productivity of spends that you see these results. Ind AS impact is very minimal. Overall, Ind AS impact probably would be not more than 10 to 15 basis point on the EBITDA.
And sir, could you just break up your gross margins improvement on a Y-on-Y basis or on a quarter-on-quarter basis of 100 basis points into how much has come from commodities and rest other and other efficiencies?
No, I think I won't detail out so much into mathematical variances, but suffice it to say it's a combination of commodities, LEAP savings, both.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Amin Pirani from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. What is your outlook on the commodity costs, especially in a BS6 environment where, you know, the proportion of some of the, you know, commodities like palladium, which have gone up significantly, goes up, you know, quite a lot. So how should we look at commodity cost environment over the next maybe 2 to 3 quarters?
See, it's very difficult to, guide on commodities. But if you look at it, there are multiple factors at play, which are happening right now. If you see, and yes, precious metal is a new kid on the block for BS6.
Yeah.
But if you see, there are other core commodities which still would constitute almost 70-80% of your material cost.
Right.
And most of those commodities would depend on the outlook for the global economic growth, right? And various other factors. And if you see, crude has been range bound for a while. Aluminium has been soft for a while. Now, of course, you can see a bit of coronavirus impact on the commodities. So it's very difficult to see. We have seen years of high commodity. We have seen years of low commodity. I think as a company, we are well geared to navigate through this cost inflation. And we have adequately demonstrated that to the market as well. So I think rather than forecasting commodities, I would say that we have seen the times of high and low both. So we know how to navigate through these various volatilities that happen in the market.
Okay, sure. And just on the financing bit, can you share what has been the share of financing for you in the quarter or for the 9 months, whatever number you are comfortable sharing? And what has been the share of Hero FinCorp within that?
Yep. Financing, as far as the financing penetration is concerned, 46% of our sales have been on financing in quarter three. And this has been the trend by and large. You know, last year also same quarter, it was 45-46%. It used to be around 40% sometime back, but now it's gone to a range of 45-46%. And FinCorp is almost 50% share of this financing.
Okay, great. I'll come back in the queue for more questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to all participants, please restrict questions to 2 per participant. We have a next question from the line of Kunjan Prithyani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions. Firstly, on this margin thing, if I look at last 2 quarters, your gross margins have improved pretty meaningfully. And last quarter, if I recall, there was an inventory adjustment, which was a positive adjustment. So it seems surprising in that context that we've even seen further improvement from second quarter levels. So if you can just share what is really happening here, where are the cost savings really coming from? And I mean, directionally, where should we see this moving if we are projecting our F21 numbers?
Thanks, Gunjan, for the question. Yes, our margins have improved over the last couple of quarters. If you see, again, it's a combination of commodities because the commodities impact us with a lag of a quarter. And if you see the trends in the aluminum or the steel or the other commodities over the past couple of quarters, so the benefit has come into this quarter because it comes with a lag. Of course, these commodities have now stabilized. And moving forward, like Amin said, there are some couple of headwinds that you could see, whether it is steel or precious metals. But these things keep playing out. Apart from that, yes, there are cost-saving programs. There is a bit of inventory adjustment part of this as well, because December end also probably, as far as plant side is concerned, we had inventories, though they were pretty similar to the September end inventories as well. So once they wind down, some part of it should get wind down in coming quarter.
Okay. Will you be able to quantify that? How much would it be? Because last quarter, I think it was fairly sizable.
So it won't be a big number. I mean, probably, 20, 30 basis point could be on account of that if you actually wind down the entire inventory. So
this 20, 30 basis point reverses and whatever commodity on the precious metal side we are seeing increases, barring that, yes, the only headwind, meaningful headwind, would be the percentage hit that you see because of BS6. You don't
that
see any...
That will only be in the FY21.
Yes. Okay. Otherwise, you see pretty much in this range, ex the BS6 impact, margins should stay in this range.
No, Gunjan, I won't give a guidance on the margin, I know. So you can make your math.
Fair enough.
But yeah.
Okay. And second question I had was on the growth and the inventory level. How are we looking at growth for next year, given these steep price increases that BS6 products are having? And where are we in terms of inventory levels now, after December quarter?
Yeah, as far as growth for next year is concerned, it will be extremely difficult to give a number right now. Simply because, as you know, that with BS6, the prices have gone up anywhere between 12 to 15%. Really, the retails of BS6 will start in March and maybe meaningfully from quarter one. So we will have to see what kind of volume elasticity plays out and in different segments, how differently it plays out. So very difficult to say that. That's one big variable which is there. Second, of course, is that we know that as far as overall economy is concerned, there's been a slowdown. Yes, there have been a lot of measures announced by the government, this budget and as well as earlier as well. But some of these will take time. So again, the time that it takes for the economy to pick up and of course for the customers to absorb the price and the new table to stabilize is when one can say. So realistically speaking, you will have to wait for the H1 of the new fiscal and let it settle down. And then one can be in a position. But of course, I mean, sitting today, if you were to just ask me directionally, then I would say that probably H2, we can reasonably expect positive trends to emerge on the back of, let's say, the economy and the effect of slowdown having waned off and the positives of these actions coming to play and the BS6 prices getting settled down. And plus, of course, the better rabi crop, the water reservoirs, the water tables which are there should help the farm crop and farm incomes as well. But I think we'll have to wait out, realistically speaking, for H2 for any positive turns to happen. As far as inventory is concerned, we were down to close to 6 weeks at the end of December. And by January end, we are down to actually 5 weeks of forward retail. So effectively, inventory is a non-issue and pretty much well geared for a transition.
And this will largely be BS4 only, right? Because BS6 has only been more signaling launches rather than distributing it.
Yes. It's largely BS4 right now, the inventory.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just some clarifications first. One is the tax rate as well as the treasury income. Tax rate seems to be extremely low. So is the treasury income. So can we just clarify what would be the normalized tax rate for next year that we should look at?
Treasury income is not extremely low. I don't know why you're saying that, because
as a trend, if you look at your cash flow generation in general, So is the, but it's okay, it could be a seasonality. More question was on the tax rates.
Yeah, Chirag. So treasury income, as you know, while yes, our size of treasury has grown, but equally the rates of returns have been coming down, as you know, with the rate cuts and the GSEC and the yields and even in the liquid funds. So you see that, but equally if you see overall around 182 crores of other income versus 187 crores, I think, the same quarter last year. So I think that's the treasury income part of it. On the tax rates, why you see lower rate is because the change happened from quarter two. So therefore, the whole adjustment of the rate happens for the forward three quarters. Yeah. And thereof, that's why you see the rates which are lower for the quarter. Of course, as you move to the next year, you will stabilize at a nominal rate of the 22% plus surcharge, which will be close to around 25%.
Okay. And just again, on the inventory side, so you said 5 weeks of forward with not much of BS6 inventory, right? That's what I heard.
Yes. And absolutely. And we're stopping BS4 production, we are stopping by mid-Feb. So therefore, you can see that we are well positioned to transition. And we don't see at all any issue or a need for any excessive discounts for selling this off. In fact, it's a good opportunity for any buyer today to actually pick up the BS4, because he gets to buy at 8,000 to 10,000 rupees lower, even on a BS4, BS6 price. And the more he delays, the more he'll run out of this opportunity.
And just one again clarification on this precious metal, you know, because of BS6, what is the content jump from industry perspective that is happening because of this precious metal? Because if they were X percent earlier, how much that content is going up for precious metal in general because of BS6 transition?
So overall, if you see the BS, you know, precious metals would be comprising probably around 4 to 5% of the overall material cost. So really speaking, if you look at a percentage basis on the material cost composition, it's still not sizable, but it will depend on the quantum of increase. Yes, it's sharply increased of late in the last couple of quarters, but some of these things can be volatile when suddenly the demand comes, and then thereafter they may stabilize. So we'll have to just watch the trend a bit more.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. This was helpful. And all the best.
Thank you, sir.
We have next question from the line of Kumar Rakesh from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my question. I'm looking at the spare parts revenue this quarter, which you noted was around 800 crores. Now, the mix in your total revenue contribution coming from spares is one of the highest, if actually the highest in whatever record I could see. Both sequentially and YOY, it has jumped up by around 200 basis point. So I'm sure that would have also helped in your margin, gross margin performance during the quarter. Can you help us understand two parts of it? One is how it helped on the margin front, and B, what you're doing over there that its performance is a bit disconnected from the retail weakness which we have seen.
Right. So you picked up right that the spare parts growth, which is 9.5%, versus two-wheeler, which has gone down by 14%. So the ratio of parts to the overall revenue has gone up to 11.4%. And that does help the margin, given that the parts margin are typically higher than the two-wheeler sales. There are a couple of things happening. One is, of course, as a percentage, it looks higher, simply because on a dispatch basis, the volumes are 14% down, right? So that's one effect. The second effect, of course, is on the parts. What we are doing is we are going deeper with our distribution system through micro distributors, and therefore that has started giving us some results. Early days, but yes, we are structurally trying to penetrate more because potential in the parts business is huge, and what we capture is not more than 35-36% of the potential.
That's encouraging. My second question was around your Andhra plant. Can you help us with the update? When is it going to ramp up and start production, and when we should start seeing the cost and the P&L effect of that?
As far as Andhra plant is concerned, we do have plans to commission it this quarter. And as far as P&L is concerned, it won't have a meaningful impact because it will start producing, it will take time to scale up. And also given the FY21 BS6 transition and volume projections. Probably initially, we would be manufacturing it only for South or probably only for Andhra. So yes, in terms of the fiscal benefits and logistics, we will have advantages, but not a significant or any meaningful P&L impact in the FY21 because of Andhra.
So what kind of volume we would be expecting from that plant at least in the first year?
It will be difficult for me to give out a volume projection right now. But as I said, it will not have a meaningful impact on the top line or on the P&L. But we can talk about it in the next quarter once we actually commission it.
Got it. I'll fall back on the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Jayesh Chandra Gupta from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is regarding the today's announcement by MPC saying that they don't have to keep CRR for the auto dispersal till July of this year. So do you see financial penetration increasing and maybe supporting sales despite BS6 cost up? What's your outlook regarding that?
See, liquidity hasn't been an issue in the last 6 to 9 months, right? It was an issue earlier. So it wasn't an issue of liquidity. Yes, I mean, no CRR helps in the liquidity improvement. But liquidity is not an issue. And also this helps more of banks and not NBFCs. While most of the financing penetration in two-wheelers happens through the NBFCs. So I don't see this as a factor driving finance penetration. But if I just take the question a little deeper, that is finance penetration, can it be a big driver for growth? Then answer is yes. So I think innovative financial products and finance penetration can actually help offset some part of BS6 headwind, which may come due to volume elasticity. And definitely we are on it, and we will try to see how much of this factor can be played out when we get into the BS6 regime.
Thank you, sir. So my last question would be regarding, so you see some of the competitors are coming with e-carburetor where they're saying they can control the airflow and mix and do the same as FI. What's your view on this technology, e-carburetor? Is it effective? Do we plan to do it sometime? Is it an effective product to save cost due to BS6, technologically efficient? What's your view, sir?
So you've already seen that now eCarb has been launched by one of our competitors.
Yes.
And the price differential between the eCarb launch and the FI that we have launched is not more than around 1,000 rupees.
Yeah.
So the entire concern that probably a lot of you had that maybe eCarb will come at a 2,000 rupees or a 3,000 rupees price, while compared to FI of 7,000-8,000, I think that concern is gone now. Now coming to the technology part of it, FI certainly is a premium technology. It is proven and a more stable technology. It's more fuel efficient. It can give better acceleration. It doesn't have a start-stop issue, which sometimes the carburetor technology can have. And also, the start-stop issue in the cold weather I'm talking about. And also remember, in the next 2 years, the OBD is coming, which is onboard diagnostics regulation. And clearly FI is well-placed for the and well-compatible with the OBD technology. The carburetor technology is yet to prove itself to be compatible with OBD. So I think there are lots of, you know, ifs and buts about that in comparison. FI is clearly superior. And therefore, we don't have any concerns about actually this price differential.
Okay. Thanks.
And we believe it's the best technology to go through with the product.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Pramod Amte from CGS CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Two questions. First one is with regard to BS6, the price hikes are already been announced and it looks steep. Looking back at the insurance experience where it came as a shock and the system took time to adjust, What are you doing differently with financiers and the entire ecosystem to take care of such steep hike in prices?
Right, Pramod. So one thing, remember insurance came as a shock. So it came as a shock to OEMs as well. And there was no time for even OEMs to get prepared or for them to prepare their dealers or the customers. So even the reasons and the story and the logic, and there was a lot of confusion. And in fact, insurance came and then one part was rolled back and then the other part, there were representations, a lot of uncertainty it created. And a lot of logic issue it created as to why the customer should pay. Compared to that, if you see the BS6, everyone knows, yeah, so the BS6 has been there in communication, in interactions, in the customers, this thing, right from the last 9 to 12 months, that yes, BS6 is coming, they know that there is a price hike coming, and now the models have started getting launched in the last couple of months. And therefore, the transition happens by March end. So I think there's enough time, first of all. So comparison with insurance, which was a shock, while BS6, which is planned and known, the reactions would be different. Second thing is, of course, you know, along with BS6, everyone, and we are also doing, we are trying to give a better product. So you would have seen our Pleasure scooter, which went out, you know, a week back, and we said it goes with a 10% better fuel efficiency. Now, if you just take 10% better fuel efficiency, that saves you almost 2,500 rupees a year. And the capital value of that could be 7,500 over a five-year NPV. So I think, of course, customers won't do NPV calculations, but they can see some part of savings coming. And also then you see acceleration, better technology, futuristic technology. A technology has a premium associated with it. So I think these are the things that that can help BS6. Price landing in a much more softer manner as compared to the insurance landing. Apart from that, of course, we will have to do some work on financing products in order to make it easy as far as the upfront payments are concerned.
And the second one is with regard to the top management. In spite of the company taking up ESOP programs to retain the key performers, we have seen a substantial change in the CY19. Do you think you need to install a much stronger program, a much attractive program to retain employees, and how you plan to, and what's your observation in terms of how to come out of it and handle the BS6 better with?
Right. So let me just talk about, I think what happens is that when two or three movements get bunched together, so that actually seems to be like a big issue that's happening. However, if you see in isolation, we had a CTO moving, and that was part of the plan because it completed his five-year contract. That was the contract period. And in that time, Marcus actually established the R&D center, the Jaipur center with a 1,000 crore investment. We have 1,000 engineers, we have second, third line. So the whole organization is established that way. And then it has been seamlessly, in a sense of taken over by Vikram Kasbekar, who also handles manufacturing. And you can see it hasn't affected our BS6 transition at all. And all the models are ready, it's moving into the market. Equally, if you look at transition of Sanjay Bhan, he served the company for 30 years. So it's not like people are coming and going. It's just that probably two or three moves have got bunched together. So we don't see an issue on that front. And of course, the organization, the structure, the systems are all institutionalized. So we don't see any impact as far as short and medium term is concerned.
The last one, if I can ask, what is in the context of change in dividend tax rate, what is your broader payout policy to remain intact, or how do you look at it?
The broader policy doesn't change because of the change in the taxation. We continue to be a company which believes in paying out on a progressive basis. We continue to be a company which are in the top quartile and will remain there. And therefore, we don't see any significant change as far as the dividend policy is concerned.
Thanks and all the best.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Ronak Sarda from Systematic Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So first question on the rural sentiment. Last quarter when we had, during the call, we were hopeful that the Rabi sowing should be strong, and it has actually, been pretty strong. But any change on ground? I mean, are we seeing any improvement in the sentiments? Any spending change?
Ronak, so thanks for the question. Yes, early days, but I would say that there are some hints that are coming. For instance, when we look at our January retail, we can see some areas, some states, right? UP, Rajasthan, Maharashtra, parts of Gujarat, we can see actually growing 10%, double-digit growth in retail in January. Now, these are early days, but it's a positive that we take out. But I guess once the Rabi crop is harvested and the incomes go in the hands of the farmers and, of course, people who are dependent on the farm sector, then one could start seeing these green shoots as getting more established. Apart from that, of course, a lot of programs have been announced by the government for the rural and the infra that all of you have seen. I think if they are executed well, in time and in full, which means the amounts that are intended, then of course the dividends of those initiatives should start coming in 6 months' time. So I would say a good crop followed by the output from the initiatives implemented should augur well for the rural sector.
Sure, that's helpful. So part question here again, how is the financing in rural? I mean, you gave the overall financing numbers, but anything, I mean, are we seeing a major jump in rural? Are the financiers happy to do two-wheeler financing in rural areas now?
See, I won't be able to give out a split of rural financing and urban financing, but I can say that, look, in this area, the financing companies have a job to do. Right now, they are also risk-averse. Actually, the whole financial sector is risk-averse, right, from the banks to NBFCs, and which is why you don't see liquidity converting into lending. And I think as the economy picks up a bit, and with technology intervention, and with better financial inclusion and integration, that's a big opportunity as far as rural is concerned. So I think the finance companies also have a job to do in this area. But the potential is there, and that could actually actually give a lot of boost. In fact, there have been new products which we have experimented and we have introduced, whether it is Flexi Cash or whether it is low LDPs, etc. And we continue to innovate around that as pilots, and we are seeing good results. But I think for a big jump on that, the confidence from the NBFCs and finance companies is also extremely important. And confidence, as far as they are concerned, is dependent on the confidence of their own lenders. So therefore, the whole financing sector, right from banks to the NBFCs to the entire thing, has to get a little more confident before they can actually take a jump here.
Okay. So basically, this 10% retail growth is without financing push. Okay, that's helpful. So second, I mean, we were working on e-car.
Sorry, Ronak. It includes a bit of financing, but yes, there are other drivers as well.
Sure. So second question, I mean, we were also working on the e-car technology, and we were hoping to launch it later in the year as an option. So, I mean, can we assume now we are not working on it, given the pricing is not very different and you have other challenges with the e-cab technology, or if we still go ahead, are we still working on the same? And another part question to this is, how is the BS6 pricing feedback from the retail side? Because we have launched two of our largest selling products in BS6. So any customer feedback, if you can share?
So as far as the carburetor technology is concerned, we had said that as part of our cost optimization plans, one section of our team is also working on that, right? And of course, the technologies can be improved over a period of time. And we will see how it goes. Yeah. And if it works out, if you know something where the customer wants a far lower cost versus the modern technology, one could always have an option of an SKU or a variant or a product. So I think that's where I would say we see that going. As far as BS6 is concerned, I think I told earlier also in this call, right now it's very early to measure any pricing feedback meaningfully, because the retails of BS6 are far, far lower, so you can't really gauge from that. It's only from April onwards that we'll be able to gauge the reaction of the customers.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations on a great margin performance. My first question is on the BS6 transition, sir. So if you can just help us understand, out of the 16 brands what we have in our portfolio, how many brands have already kind of moved to BS6 production? And if you can share a timeline as to by when do you see 100% BS6 production across all your 16 brands, sir?
Hi, Pramod. Thanks for the question. So first of all, you would have seen that we've already started dispatching HF Deluxe. We started with iSmart much earlier. And at that time also, we said that we will calibrate our dispatches as per our transition plan. We've also started dispatching Pleasure, and you will see more and more products coming. Yeah, from a R&D side and a production side, there's complete readiness. From a selling side and dispatch side, as I said, it's all calibrated as per our BS4, BS6 transition. What, however, I can say is that we are stopping BS4 production by middle of February. I think that should give you enough indications of our transition and the volumes.
And Niranjan, related to that is what's happening with the scooter portfolio, sir? Because is it just BS4 ramp down? That's why our numbers have fallen to 7, because that number looks abnormally low, even from a dealer support and sales perspective, sales continuity perspective of the end market. So if you can just, because we had much higher volume ambitions there, thanks to the new launches and the 125cc, and we heard in the past that you had almost 15%, 20% retail market share in the 125cc category, but the volumes at the wholesale level have been slipping, and last month was a kind of absolute shocker. So if you can just explain a bit of that, sir.
So Pramod, you are absolutely right. It is basically because we are stopping BS4, and therefore all the scooter production was stopped in December itself. And therefore you won't see them in dispatches. And they'll always, when you plan a transition of a BS4 and BS6, so you ramp down the BS4 and you ramp up the BS6, there's always going to be some gaps between when the BS4 gets ramped down and BS6 gets ramped up. So you're absolutely right. It is because of the transition and not something that is adjusted to sales.
So in a way, we should expect a sharp comeback from February, March itself, as in from February itself, ideally, because the channel must be really like dry right now, given the retail momentum.
Hopefully. I hope you also go and buy a couple of our scooters, Pramod.
I'm waiting for the electric one, sir.
Don't buy electric. Then you will wait for the charger and the charging stations.
So I got the access here. That's not a problem.
Go and buy something that you can fuel and drive right now.
Okay, I was thinking about the carbon footprint, sorry. Last one, Niranjan, as in on the export side, sir. Again, we have seen extremely good performance from Bajaj and TVS on a much larger base, but somehow we seem to have been kind of not benefiting from the boom in the export side in many of the markets. So if you can just help, and this has been a sustained issue what we've been facing on the export side, even with the joint venture in Bangladesh. So if you can throw some color on that, sir. And this is my final question.
Yeah, so admittedly, Pramod, the exports is taking time to pick up. There's no denying that. Having said that, Colombia has started doing very well. For instance, in the last quarter, we grew 18% in Colombia versus market, which grew by 10%. These are, of course, you know, Colombia is one of our strategic markets because it's a 500,000, this one. As far as Bangladesh is concerned, there's been some fiscal changes in the regulatory space there. So there is some adjustments happening there. But we're not worried there. The Bangladesh company is profitable. We have 20% market share there. But having said that, there are enough opportunities which are there. It is taking time for us to pick up. We are configuring our products also to suit the markets. So it will take some time, but we are at it.
Thanks a lot, Nandan, and thanks, best of luck. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Aniket Mhatre from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Could you talk a bit about your working capital? How has it moved, and about the FCF generation this quarter, please?
So as far as the working capital is concerned, while I won't give you a number, maybe offline Umang can help you. But I can say is that one of the things that we've been pointing out is the receivables in the past, and our receivables have come down in December to the normal levels.
Okay. And any sense on the FCF generation this quarter?
Sorry?
Any sense on the FCF you would have done this quarter?
No, we don't give out FCF numbers on a quarterly basis. You can connect offline, of course, with Umang.
Sure, sure. My final question is, you alluded to the fact that some part of the gross margins was because of commodity cost benefit. Is there, have you got the benefit on a retrospective basis? So second quarter's benefit has also come in this quarter, or it's entirely third quarter benefit?
No, it's always with a lag. So there is no accounting adjustments here. It's always been like that the commodities for us impact us with a lag of a quarter.
No, what I'm trying to understand is whether even 1H benefit is in this quarter, or you have got the benefit for only this quarter.
No, it's only the quarter benefit.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Aditya Johar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My question is about what is the share of rural in our overall portfolio?
Let me just hand over this question to Mr. Naveen Chauhan, who is the head of national sales, and he is with me. Naveen, would you like to throw some light on rural and urban?
Sure. I think rural has been doing good for us. Consistently, I think there is positive numbers that we are getting. I think in excess of around 50% that we get from rural market. I think there is continual focus there, which is helping us harness the opportunities which are there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Niranjan, are you guys seeing any increase in delinquencies in Hero FinCorp, and does it have a kind of a recourse on Hero Motor?
No, there's no increase in delinquencies and also no recourse to Hero. Hero is only doing as an equity shareholder, and there is no underwriting of any debt or any other obligation whatsoever. Okay. And it's on an arm's length basis, so there's no recourse. They operate as an NBFC in their own right.
And there's no increase in delinquencies we are seeing there.
I mean, they manage their own business, honestly speaking. You can take it offline also with Umang.
Okay.
But the business is progressing well. Their loan book has gone to 23,000 crores. Their profits have increased on a year-on-year basis. So I think the company is doing well. But you can connect offline with Umang for anything more that you want on FinCorp.
Perfect. And is there a differential in credit period offered in spare part versus our main business?
Not meaningfully. I mean, there's a bit of difference here and there, but honestly, spares is 10% of our revenue. And I would say broadly, spare parts would be close to around 30 days of credit on an average. And two-wheelers operate on a 15 days interest-free credit.
Okay. That's it from my side. And congrats on great set of numbers, especially in this environment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Rajat Rajoria from Angel Broking. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, my question is regarding that in the segment which we are, our product mix is the highest, that is 75cc to 110cc. in past 9 months, April to December, we have actually lost the market share by 1.2% volume wise. So may I know the specific reason? And also, sir, export growth has been down by 36%. So is there any can you throw some colors on this, sir?
Yeah, so basically, you know, overall, there are two reasons for that. So one is, look, I mean, looking at this, just a CC classification on a standalone and one segment does not help because customers do migrate from one to the other. The way we look at it is, look, on a year-to-date basis, 9 months motorcycle, we have gained 70 basis point market share. So I think that's the way we look at it. And with whichever mix we have been able to do, our margins have gone up. So I think there is a mix and there's a margin management, and that's what we navigate. Having said that, since you asked a specific question, within that, Passion is a brand where we've talked about earlier as well. So that has lost some shares because in the past, we haven't done enough refreshes on that. And we are addressing that in BS6, and you will see soon, once the Passion BS6 gets launched, that the changes that have been reflected in that model. As far as exports is concerned, I've already answered that yes, exports is taking a bit of time for us to pick up. We are customizing products for the specific markets and building it brick by brick. Some of the markets have started showing signs, but currently exports is a very small percentage of our revenue, but it gets a full focus. X-Pulse, which we have launched in most of our markets of exports, have been received very well. So again, early days, it will take time to build into these markets. So we are at it.
Okay, sir. And sir, my next question is, on the GST front, sir, that as we all know that the segment in which Hero is, that is a mass category product. But they have been charged with the rate which is of luxury item, 28%. So may I know, sir, any possibility or probability that how the government will take it, or whether they will revise the rate from 28% to 18%? Is there any hint from the government or any assurance from the government side? What is the status of that, sir?
So first of all, thank you for this question, and maybe you should also help us represent. So I think we've represented multiple times to the government. But finally, look, we have to run our own business with what we have. And that's what we are doing. Government probably also would have constraints as far as fiscal space is concerned. So we will see how it goes. Right now, we are not really focusing on that. We are focusing on that with the current cost and pricing and margin structures, how do we make the auto industry grow and ourselves grow as well.
Okay, sir. That's helping. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, a question on exports while it has been asked. So I just wanted to understand, why is it taking time? Because some of your peers who have been late entrants have been able to expand reasonably well over the last 2-3 years. So while some of them established well in advance, but some of them have been so... We were focusing on exports in the reasonable time. So is there anything specific that we are not able to address while some of others are able to address, or we are not willing to take risks as much as others are taking? Is that the reason? How should we look at this opportunity? Because I don't think product is an issue, especially in most of the markets, from your perspective.
Yeah. So Chirag, you rightly pointed out, it's a big opportunity for us. An opportunity that we know. If you see, there are two places where we have put in our manufacturing centers and our fully dedicated teams. And both places, Bangladesh started doing earlier itself well, 20% market share. It's a profitable company. In the first year itself, it's paid off all its loans and everything. And if you look at Colombia, it took time to get our act together there. But now, in the recent quarters, we've started growing. If you look at, again, Nigeria, we launched with a product, but then the Nigeria is a taxi market, and therefore that product didn't do well. So we actually finally paused and stopped selling into Nigeria. So therefore, that base has gone out. And now we will be putting out with a completely customized product, which is suited for that market. So similarly, you know, there are examples, there are multiple examples of different countries. It's about understanding each country in its isolation. We started this journey 4 or 5 years back. Yes, we have an ambitious target. We still have that target for GB to be 10% of our revenue in fullness of time. There is a dedicated team working on it. We can see success in a few geographies. But yes, it's taken time. But I can tell you that there's a lot of focus on this because it's a huge, huge opportunity from a Hero portfolio perspective, and we will get it right.
Okay, fair point. This is helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Bharat Kainani from Sherkhan. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers in such a challenging environment. I just had one query, if you can throw light on the same. Do you see oil marketing companies increasing the cost of fuel, BS4 to BS6? Anything you can, you have a sense on or you could, would like to share at this moment would be helpful, and so just wanted your views on that. Thanks.
Difficult to comment on that because, yes, we've also seen oil marketing companies announcing increase of the for the BS6. I think they've announced a 1 rupee per liter, which amounts to probably 1-1.5%. In terms of the price per liter. So it doesn't seem to be significant. Equally, fuel actually, apart from this 1 rupee, actually depends largely on the crude oil, which is more volatile and actually can take away or give in more than that 1 rupee by its own movement itself. So honestly, at this point in time, we don't see that as an area or a topic to focus on, and we will see how it moves. Yeah.
Okay. That's really helpful, sir. I was thinking like it might have an impact, but given the huge fuel efficiency increase that we see under the BS6 regime, it shouldn't be a problem, I think. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Sabyasachi Mukherjee from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on a good margin numbers. Two questions from my side. First, you mentioned that YTD we have gained 70 basis point market share. It is in two-wheeler motorcycles or both put together motorcycle scooters?
It's in motorcycles.
And similar, what would be in scooters?
Overall, if you look at on a scooters, we have lost the market share on a YTD basis by 280 basis points. So our scooter market share is at 8%. And overall on two-wheeler basis, both put together, we are by and large flat as far as market share is concerned on year-on-year basis.
Okay. And the second question is on the discount trends. You know, what has been the discount levels in Q3 and how has it has been trending in Jan and you know, going forward, what would be?
So as far as discount is concerned, Q3 of course was a festive period. And our margins factor in that. So the margins are after factoring the discounts, and you've seen that. Even at that time, we had said that we are doing the schemes in line with what we have been doing in the earlier years, and no meaningful change, no substantial change on that, and that is borne out by our numbers. As far as the quarter four is concerned, again, you know, yes, you do run schemes here and there into geographies specific, and you would have seen that, but you won't see or you would not have seen any substantial jump there, simply because the inventories are low, and we are geared up, so we don't see a reason for any substantial or a significant hike in discounts.
I mean to say, I mean, Q3, the discount levels have been more or less similar to what it was in last Q3.
Yeah, you can assume that. I mean, it will be probably slightly higher, but not significantly higher. In fact, we had said that earlier as well. In our last quarter call, we had said that we won't be going with significantly higher discounts. We had said that, yes, it will be up, but it will not like mother of all discounts or father of all discounts.
If I can request, would you like to put any number per discount per unit?
No. We won't give out a specific number.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umang Khurana, Head Investor Relations, Hero MotoCorp, for closing comment. Sir, over to you.
Thank you, everyone, for coming in. Lovely getting all your questions. Let's connect after this as well. Have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.